And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 645. Talking projections. The Bad X came out this week. ATC came out last week. Everything is right in the world when it comes to loading up a Fangraphs page. Now you have all the key hitters there. There's obviously HQ's got theirs, RotoWire's got theirs. A lot of smart people have projections, but for the viewing public, it's on one page now. So now we can have some fun with it. So I bring on smarter people than I, not hard to find, but I found smarter people than me to help kind of navigate the minefields, because everyone likes to point at differences in projections. And this, and we're going to talk differences in projections, but also differences in projections versus the ADP, which is fun as well, because that's how we can find value. And this individual, we did the kind of a similar thing with, I think it was Steamer and ADPs earlier, just trying to find values. Now we have the whole smorgasbord of fun here. And you can find this gentleman on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Good friend of the show, good friend of mine, BreakingBen_T. Benton, how are we doing, my friend?
Bubba, I'm doing great. And before I say anything else, you're talking about people being smarter than you. I don't have an FFWA nomination, so I have to say congratulations. It's long overdue. So people probably know by now I'm a longtime listener of Bench with Bubba, and of course, by extension, Bubba in the Bloom. I only have 5 unplayed Bubba in the Bloom episodes on my iTunes, I think.
That's impressive.
I've been a part of a couple of them. Yeah, the other two, I think, were just live shows. And there was one, I don't know why I didn't listen, but it's a must listen for me every week. I look forward to it. I know you and Ryan both know. But for whatever reason, anyone listening to the Bench with Bubba isn't listening to that already every week. Whenever it comes out, you have to do that. So congrats, my friend, and hope you win.
I appreciate it. We're just happy to be nominated, because I'd be shocked if we win. We're going up against the powerhouses of the division. It's like, you know, the 7 seed in the NFL coming up against the 1 seed and trying to make it work. Not easy to do, but miracles happen. You never know. But yeah, it's just nice to be nominated. Thank you for the kind words. And thanks for, you know, always listening, because Bloomfield is a heavy hitter on that show to make that show work. So there's a reason why. I think it's a really fun show, and I think it's very informative. So I'm biased, but thanks for the kind words. Before we get into all this, how's last time we talked? I think it was maybe 3-4 weeks ago. You're getting ready for draft season. How's draft season going for you so far?
It's going. I'm in DC number 3 right now. Draft champions on NFBC.
Love to hear it.
Yeah. I'm way behind you, but I'm ahead of my normal pace. I think usually by now it's like DC number 2 or 1, but I had the itch to start early, and I'm glad I have, because I'll probably do 4 DCs. I think I have a 150 hanging out there that I got. I was going to join with you guys. You guys had that superstar draft champions that filled up before I could get in, but hopefully I can get another one of those in. And it's a long way to go before Fab Drafts. We were talking about before the show started, and hopefully these last two can drag out long enough where I don't have to wait too long.
Yeah, let me know. I was telling Ryan the other night that I'll probably do 1 more DC. So let me know when you get that itch, and maybe I'll jump into 150 with you. And I could make a couple text messages to some others, and we could have some fun on that one. But I was telling you before the show, it's like I've done so many drafts already. You know, call me what you wish, but I've enjoyed them. And I'm just at that point. I'm ready to start doing Fab Drafts. Let's get serious. Like, let's start building some things. It's at the point now when you first start doing these DCs and NFBC 50s, where even the later rounds are fun out the gate, kind of. And now once I get to like round 30, 35, I'm like, what are we doing right now? Like, I'm kind of over it, but you still have money in the game, so you're still focused, of course, but it's just like, what are we doing here? So, I'm ready for go time, and it's coming soon enough, because we're recording on Thursday, February 1st, and pitchers and catchers report on some teams in like 10 days, 10, 11 days. So we got action, folks. It is coming. And it'll be here before you know it. And we'll be watching the Dodgers play over in Asia in like third week in March. So be prepared for that. Let's talk recent MLB fantasy news. You got Hector Neris signing with the Cubs. He gets a good deal. Obviously, Albert Alzolay is in the mix there. This is just kind of conjecture. Neris probably works into the number 2 spot. But didn't know if you had any other thoughts on that, because looking over the last 10 NFBC draft champions, Neris is going at pick 534, as high as 462. Any interest there?
Oh, for sure. I think he should be one of the higher RP2s taken in draft champions right now. He came off a really good year last year, I believe. I think he had like a sub-2 ERA, if I'm not mistaken. And he still got it, I think. And definitely a target if you're just trying to get a handcuff in those mid to late rounds in draft champions, or any kind of draft and hold. And I mean, also with Alzolay, he has an injury history, so who knows if he can hold up for the entire year. I mean, being a closer now should help him, but you never know with pitchers. So I think Nerist at that ADP is definitely a good buy.
Yep, good spec closer at a DC. That's what they're all about. And he comes in a nice price tag for now. Obviously, that will probably change as things develop there. Let's talk Colt Keith. It wasn't like a new team, but he got an extension, 6-year extension with the Tigers, which pretty much signals nothing's guaranteed in life, but signals he'll start the year at the big club. And he's got second base, third base upside, but he's third base on the NFBC. He's probably going to play second base for the Tigers. ADP is 359, as high as 280, though. And you talk to Kurland once in a while. You know how excited he is about Colt Keith. What are your thoughts on Colt Keith? Because I'm not a prospect guy. I know you're not the biggest prospect guy either, but he could be playing at a decent price tag.
I think when Kurland messaged me last night on Twitter, the first thing he said was that he has so much Colt Keith or something. So, yeah, he's a big fan.
He's got a bunch.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't blame him looking at his minor league numbers. So he almost went 90-90 last year with 27 homers and an average above 300 and double and triple A. And where he's going, I'm much more willing to take a rookie. And before he got before he signed the contract, he was going at a point where I still want more certainty with playing time. So that's why I wasn't drafting. Like I knew who he was because I've heard other people talk about him, like Justin Mason and Paul Sport. They've been vocal about him because Paul's a Tigers fan. And so I heard of the name, but in that early mid 300s ADP range in a draft champions, I want someone who I know is going to be on the roster from day one. Now I know that, but everyone else knows that now too. Mm-hmm. So he'll probably, that 288 you said is probably gonna be more like his new ADP, if I had to guess. Yeah. As you've mentioned before on other shows, third base is much deeper this year. So it's not like he's filling a gap in a weak position. It's just one of those rookies. And I was looking at the lineup position. So I think Roster Resource has him projected to hit six, but in a platoon. Our buddy Kurland, like we just talked about, I think he has him hitting six, but not in a platoon. Mm-hmm. So still a decent lineup spot. I expect the Tigers to be better this year. So maybe, I mean, he could always move up because it's not the strongest lineup if he produces. So I think where he's going is definitely a solid pick now. And now that it seems like he's going to be up from the start. And I know, like with Churio, it's not guaranteed he'll be up the entire year, but Keith's a lot older than Churio. So I think he's ready to be up from day one. And I as I go forward in drafts, I'll be open to drafting him.
Yeah, a team like the Tigers doesn't spend a lot of money very often, and obviously we've seen these deals most of the time work out. There's always your singletons, your kingeries of the world that it did not quite work out, but you get them at such a discount, it's worth the gamble, because if they turn into these studs, it's not going to work out well. Like the Rays are good at it, the Braves are good at it. We've seen it time and time again. So the fact the Tigers actually spent the money makes you feel like they want to play him, which, like you're saying, unlike Churio. And what's very intriguing about Colt Keith is the third base eligibility now, but he'll probably play second base a lot for the Tigers. So if he becomes second base, third base, that's the part that it gets me interested, because third base, yes, is deeper than usual. Second base gets a little suspect at times. If you can get a 20 to 25 home run guy that late in the draft at second base or even at middle infield, that becomes intriguing. So it's obviously built accordingly, because you won't have that positional eligibility out the gate in a Fab League. But if you're in a DC or something, that's the part that really gets my attention with Colt Keith, is getting that. Basically, now he's a middle infield, corner infield, which is tremendous. So that's the part I like quite a bit. The Mariners were added again, or I should say Dealing DePoto was added again. Just can't stop, won't stop. And he made a trade with the Twins. Got a little Jorge Polanco coming over from Minnesota, and he sent over reliever Justin Topa, very strong reliever. Anthony DeSclafani, his second team this offseason, our third team technically if you count the Giants. Gabriel Gonzalez, who some prospect guys really like. And then Darren Bowen, an older pitcher that I know Chris Clegg's actually pretty high on. So what's your thoughts on this? Polanco going to Seattle, should hit in the middle of the order. We know health's an issue with Polanco, but it's kind of a new lease on life potentially. ADP's 270, as high as 237. So any interest with Mr. Jorge Polanco?
So far, I've passed over him in drafts because, like we mentioned, it's only been draft and hold so far. And the injuries kind of scare me, because at that point, I kind of want a little more insurance that I can rely on, like my middle infielder. I don't want to take someone necessarily that it's kind of like a coin toss. But it's in terms of value, I think it's kind of a lateral move because he's going to bat third still probably. That's where he's projected to hit with the Twins. I'm not sure how his homers from last year would have played up in Seattle. Maybe a little, maybe a couple fewer because it's not the best home run park. But I think the biggest winner is going to be Willie Castro because he's projected to be in the lineup full time for the Twins now, I believe. And where he was kind of getting drafted like he was going to be in the lineup already, I thought, because he wasn't projected to start, but he was going around 300, and he'll probably creep up. And I imagine Polanco will stay around the same. But I'd rather take Polanco in a Fab League because you can just drop him if he gets hurt again. And I also think another fallout may be that Louis Varlin might get kicked, but I think he's still projected to be the fifth starter in roster resource. And that's because of Anthony Desclafani. But I mean, I liked Louis Varlin going into this year, and not to bring up Curlin again, but he loved him last year.
Yep. Yeah, I've mentioned it on the show, but you can bring Curlin up all you want. He comes on the show at least once a month. It's fine. People know him by now, and he's the text message threads, man. If he texts like an old man, it's entertaining, but he texts everything. You think he talks on the shows? He texts like that too. And he loved Varlin, who's got a 311 ADP. A couple of thoughts there is I'm with you, Polanco, Fab League. I've talked about this before. Is I remember last year I hadn't dropped him like twice off the waiver wire. I didn't even draft him, but he was on my team once in a while. Like I just a couple weeks early get him for like a buck or two. And take my chances with them, drop them right away. That's the beauty of the Fab League, where, like you said, DC, where you're drafting them, you're still kind of drafting starters at that point in time, and that gets a little interesting. On the flip side, I love the Willie Castro call. That was one thing that, in one of our group chats, we were talking about it because I've loved Willie Castro anyways, and I was already drafting him in DCs, knowing the flexibility, third base outfield. The Twins suspect to so many injuries around that team. Like him and Kyle Farmer are just great options is what it comes down to. And so I love the Willie Castro. Many people are pointing to Kyle Farmer. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. I think Castro is the bat they want. Keep Farmer on the utility role type thing. So I think that's a fun one. And good call on the VAR. I never really even thought about that just because I guess I just put DeSclafani on the back of my brain as a Giants fan. Varlin will get his. Hopefully he stays in the rotation. But Disco's not meant for tons of innings anymore. So that's the beauty of it. He's better as a long man or a spot start sixth man type guy. We'll see what the Twins do, but that's kind of where he should be. Last bit of news here, Justin Turner signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. I did not see that one. I know there's rumors. I thought he'd go elsewhere, though. Signs with the Blue Jays, which people are saying puts a kibosh on the Bellinger rumors to Toronto. They still might be in the running for someone else, but they can't really afford Bellinger apparently now. We got Turner. He had a great season last year. Could slide right back into that lineup. Will affect some other players, though. Turner has an ADP right now of 275, as high as 224. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's someone I haven't drafted yet either. So he definitely outperformed his average last year, which is awesome. I had him in a spot or two last year, and I didn't expect what I got from him. But, like, just looking at underlying metrics, barrel rate was pretty poor, 5.7%. XBA was 259. So it seems like he overperformed his homers and his average. And he's almost 40 now. I'm worried about the park in Toronto because they made some changes last year to the outfield and everyone seemed to have a down year. So I don't know if it's a permanent thing with visibility or something, and maybe he'll suffer too. But, I mean, if you need a corner infielder late, I think he's a good option. I wouldn't expect for him to repeat what he did last year.
Yeah, no, I kind of with you. I'm still optimistic, but the DH thing was what made me so happy last year because of his injury concerns when he just got to play. He did play extremely well. He is getting older. I'm with you there. If they just let him DH only, that's great. They still might need him at third base because they're still searching for a guy right now. And if that becomes the case, that just worries me because now it's like, he's going to be out there too much and stuff happens with Justin Turner. So I like him. If you can pull it off, go for it. But yeah, don't force it. If it keeps going up in ADP too much, it's probably going to be an out for me. But yeah, we'll see what happens. What do you think this does? Because say he does DH. So now you got like the Alejandro Kirk thing who's DHing a lot when he's not catching and some other options there. How do you think that affects anything potentially?
Yeah, so I've been mentioning Curlin's playing time, and so I've been whenever a signing's been occurring, I've been going to roster resource and then writing down, okay, who they have projected now, and then comparing to what Mike has. And I think the Blue Jays are the team that differs the most between the two. And so that's not very helpful. So like Kirlin has, I think he has Spencer Horwitz in the lineup still. He has Turner at third. Horwitz is on the bench for roster resource, and Turner's DHing. They have Biggio in the lineup. I don't think Mike does. It's kind of all over the place. So I'm not really sure. Yeah. This is kind of something where you need to really pay attention in spring training, because they have a lot of very mediocre players that they can plug in. And when it comes to catcher, I feel like Kirk and Jansen are kind of like, no, like I don't want a part of either one, because I don't know what's going to happen now. Because you can't really, I mean, if Turner DHs, then they're going to split time, or one's going to take a huge hit. And then, I mean, the chance that, I think Mike doesn't have Mike. So Turner is a DH for roster resource. So they're saying one of the catchers isn't going to play full time. Yep. And then Mike has one of the catchers still sitting. I think he has Kirk on the bench. So he thinks even though Turner won't DH there, that they're not going to play full time. So it's kind of like a kind of a messy situation, I think, overall.
It's very messy. That's why I was wondering about your opinions, because it's all over the board. But
no clarity here.
No, it's no one does. I do believe Jansen, as long as healthy, he's going to be the primary guy. I think it's like a 65, 35, 60, 40 thing. Like, he's the guy. They love his defense. Kirk's defense has gotten better, but Jansen's the guy. But like the DH allowed Kirk to probably make it feel more like 60, 50, if that makes sense, just on at bats per se. But obviously that changes in this situation. So we'll see how it plays out. Maybe they go do something else to make it real fun. Like go sign a third baseman to really screw things up. But we'll see how that goes. All right, let's go to projections. We're going to talk some differences in projections, compare them to ADP, and so on and so forth. The Bat X came out, obviously incorporates StatCast data, for those that don't know. But apparently he's got a pitcher one that I don't know if it's coming out this year or not, but it's pretty close apparently, which will be pretty sweet. ATC came out last week, which is nice. So now we have the three main systems out there. I'll let you have the floor on this one. What are we going to be looking at when we're kind of breaking down players and doing some comparing and whatnot?
Sure. So I whipped up this Excel spreadsheet for the show. And what it does is it has the Steamer, BatX, and ATC, the projections for hitters only. We're going to cover hitters today. And so I calculated my Z-scores for each one. I've gone over this before on previous shows if someone's not familiar. But Z-scores, it's another way of evaluating players. Ariel Cohen uses them for his ATC projections. They're a piece of what he does. And so we have ranked values for all three on their own. I didn't do an average of all three and then figure out the ranks. The ranks are individualized for each projection system for each player. And then I took the standard deviation of the ranks for each player. And then the purpose of this was to see, okay, who has the highest standard deviation in their hitter rank among the three main projection systems, at least the ones that I use. And I feel like you agree that they're the three main ones. Zips is up there too, but I limited three. And so go ahead.
Sorry. I thought you were stopping. Keep going.
Yeah. And then the last thing I was going to say, so just so we have like a little starting ground, I added to the outline, the averages for players who are projected for 300 plus at bats across all three projection systems. And then I use the average that I'll read is actually for the entire player pool. It's like the league wide average. It was easier just to do league wide. So Steamer, and this is kind of confirmed what I've always thought in my mind when it comes out, is Steamer is more optimistic offensively. So the average Steamer player who has 300 plus at bats projected has a 66 runs, 19 homers, 65 RBI, 9 steals, and they're projecting a league average of 252. So 66, 19, 65, 9, 252. Then the Bat X is 64 runs, 17 home runs, 61 RBI, 9 steals, 248 average. So the bats a little lower in all four, all five except for steals. Steals are identical across Steamer and the Bat X. And then ATC has 64 runs, 18 homers, 62 RBI, 9 steals again, and 251 average. So ATC is kind of middle of the road, which I would expect because it's using Steamer and the Bat among other systems to come up with its projections. So all very similar, but the Steamer is a little more hitter friendly. And if you look at player by player, I mean, some of the examples I'm sure we're going to go through, it's not always the same where Steamer's higher. Some Steamer might be lower. And I remember looking at some and it wasn't always consistent, but for the most part, Steamer will be a little more optimistic offensively.
Good to know. That makes kind of makes sense. And I know Cardi's the Bat X is usually it checks out what you're saying. A little more on the pessimistic's not the right word, but I guess this safer side, downplay conservative side. There you go of the thing here. So and especially if you're on Ilha de Cruz, but we'll talk about that later. Let's start out here. We're going to kind of just go off of Ben made an awesome sheet here for us. And do you want to compare the projections first, or you just want to go straight to like, if we bring them all together, this is the different standard deviations and ranks. I think the ranks is interesting.
Yeah. We can just go down from like top to bottom. And then just like, when I look at it, I see like the bigger standard deviations kind of, it's like a sore thumb almost, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So, like, I highlighted the first standout here. Let's talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. He stands out in a big way, and it's funny because I have said on other shows how much I am really in on Tatis this year. He's back. He's healthy, yada, yada. And I've gotten blowback from co-hosts and other people that have told me, I don't think so. I don't see how this works. And the bat comes out, and things change because the bat's the heavy hitter on the Tatis situation. When you look at the average of the group here, Tatis is the sixth player in average, sixth player in average. Yep. But you look like ADP, it's anywhere from 3 to 11 over the last 10 drafts. And the big thing is you see these differences in the Bat X, the Bat, and ATC. The Bat X definitely likes Tatis. So what do you see like when you see this? How do you use that information to glom on what you need to look at?
Yeah, so I have ATC. I have Tatis ranked higher than ADP, I believe. He's I have him seventh. I have him pulled up right now. So yeah, he's going eighth. So I have him in place of Strider in terms of the January ADP. I'm not sure what you pulled up. But I think the biggest concern people will have with Tatis is, well, one, he didn't come back as strong as he did last year following the surgery and the suspension. And it's 2-1. It's both pieces. It's the surgery and the suspension. But yeah, like you mentioned, the Bat X is actually the most optimistic with 100 and 100, 37 and 30 homers and steals. So they're expecting a monster year for him. And I think where he's going, he's definitely someone I would target if I'm picking like eighth or seventh. And it's also interesting seeing how the at-bats fluctuate too. Like Steamer has him for the most at-bats, but they're like kind of middle of the road projection. And also, so we don't actually have the average spelled out here, but I use the weighted average like I've discussed before. And the Bat X has him for a 21, which is a very good weighted average based on how the Z-scores are calculated.
Yeah, he looks pretty darn good. When you get a 30-30 guy at the back end of round one, potentially, or at least the middle of round one, if you're in a 15, like, this is where I'm just going to ask you for fun. Would you go Tatis over Tucker?
I went Tucker over Tatis in my current DC.
Yes, I have done the same thing. What about Betts?
I would go Tatis.
Carroll.
I have Carroll still ahead of all those guys still.
Okay, so you got him maybe like so close to what this all came out to, the fifth or sixth hitter when all things are said and done, when we bring it all together. So you're in that ballpark, which I'm with you too. Like I got Tatis a lot, but Tucker's my dude. Right? Go, like Carroll's a discussion point. I can at least hear a discussion with Carroll. I'm probably just too biased on Tucker by now. I've been pounding that drum for years, and it's working out. So why jump off the train just yet, I guess, is my problem on that one. Another player just right after him, when you're looking at standard deviations on this, it's interesting because Freddie Freeman, we know how good Freddie Freeman is. We talk about the batting average skills that Freddie Freeman brings to the table, hitting 331 last year. That was after 325 the year before. Speed came back to 23. But I guess you look at the projections, like they're taking a slight dip in power, pretty good, like a 10 stolen base dip. Counting stats take a massive dip from last season. And most of them at least have them around or above 300. So it's still a very good fantasy season. But there is a difference in his ADP, which, you know, go in the month of January is about 9.5, give or take. So what do you see when you look at these projections that cause the standard deviation to kind of differentiate?
Yeah, so looking at it right now, they're pretty similar, except for ATC has him for 10 more runs than Steamer in the Bat X, which is a lot for projection. And that's I'm not sure. I don't have it exactly what ATC has him ranked as, but I know Ariel Cohen loves him. So maybe he went in outside of the formula he uses.
He's got a pretty high in batting average too, compared to the other ones.
Yeah. He has the high. Yeah. So it's his weighted average. What I'm looking at right now is 35, which it's probably like 316 or 318, something like that. It's pretty high. Mm-hmm. And one thing to note too. So this is more for Bubba, cause he's looking at, but like we're looking at first rounders and a standard deviation of 5 is pretty high. That's for the average rank across the three systems is pretty high. Cause like Acuna and Witt are zeros. Both, all three systems have them as 1 and 2 respectively. Aaron Judge has a standard deviation of 1, and then we have Tatis and Freeman with 5. So we'll get to guys with much larger standard deviations eventually, but because it's the first round, it's kind of like with the dollar, like the dollars aren't very different, but it's more because it's tight. Like, I don't know, they're all really good players, but seeing this difference amongst Tatis and Freeman is kind of surprising. And I mean, either way with Freeman, I have him like 8. I have him after those outfielders.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Like I'll still take Freddie, but I'd rather get one of those outfielders first.
Yeah, and that's my I don't know if it's problem is the right word, but I just cherish those elite outfielders, especially when we've talked about how like in a 15 team league, how that outfield, 5 outfield, 15 team, that outfield gets rough. So if I can lock in one of these elite like 5 category guys, it's just a positional thing more than anything to me. And I just, the 23 bags from Freeman was awesome. I don't think that's who Freddie Freeman is. It'd be sweet if it was, but I think I agree with the projections in the sense that he might be more like 12 or 13. Okay, I could see that. I could see that happening. And the counting stats, that's the one thing I've said on many times, like with Otani coming and Teoscar coming and everyone's like, oh, this offense. I'm like, I agree. But even look at like the Braves, not everyone can have 100 RBIs and 100 runs. It's just impossible. Like, so did Freeman do with this last year? Yes. Has he done it most of the time? Yes. Should he do it again? Probably. But at least take a step back, which the projections do. So I think the projections are very fair. Still an awesome season. Like, there's zero problem with that. But, like, what he did last year is MVP. Not many guys go back-to-back MVPs. So keep that in mind when you're drafting. I want to talk about this one because it's a controversial player per se. But let's talk Vladito. I'm going to skip over some of the guys with similar things and kind of move down the draft board a little bit here. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's like a 16th on this list. He had a standard deviation of 5.3, and it's always like a I don't know, every projection season comes out and like, oh, man, they love Vlad. They love Vlad. And then he goes and he doesn't hit for his projections. The power's not where his projections are. He basically underperforms his projections year in and year out. Well, then here we are again in 2024 where the projections – really, really like Vlad Guerrero Jr., but ATC does not like them as much as the others. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's I considered drafting him in the third round of my current draft champions, and I don't know. I wanted some a little more speed because I didn't get the most speed with my other pick, and I'm very speed conscious in the early rounds this year, and. So you mentioned how ATC is lower. So they have him for about 10 fewer runs than Steamer and Baddex, which, so they have him at 88, Steamer is 97, Baddex is 96. And they're also, and the RBI kind of vary a lot too. So Steamer, of course, has 107, the most of the three. ATC has 98. So 10 is a lot. 10 and 10 and runs and RBI is a lot. Steamer has him for 5 more homers than the ATC, 36 versus 31. All three have around like 6 or 7 steals, and the Baddex actually has him for the highest average, and ATC is the lowest, and Steamer's in the middle. So a lot of discrepancy. I feel like they're as confused as we are with Vlad. So, I mean, he's someone that, like, I had him on one team the year he broke out, so I could see myself doing the same thing this year, like taking him on one team just in case he goes back to who we expect and hope he is. But I don't want to, like, commit to taking him still because, like, the projections are great where he's going. He's according to them, he's a value right now at ADP, but he's declined the last 3 years consecutively in terms of like this straight out production. And it's definitely, like I said, I'll take him on one team at least, but I don't want to over invest.
Yeah. And this is the thing for anybody that's listened to me long enough, they kind of know my stance on Vlad, that they just kind of know I'm out on Vlad. It's just the way it goes. But it's like the more I look at it, and now that his ADP's beginning to fall, it's almost like, okay, this is actually kind of like doable because now you can pay for the floor, which Vlad usually brings to the table, it feels like. And if he gets that ceiling, okay, we're in business. Like, because his ADP right now is around 32, but it's gone as low as 42. Like, so if we're talking back into round three, that's a fun discussion point when it comes to Vlad Guerrero Jr. So, yeah, I still have zero shares, still making everybody proud, sticking to my guns, but don't come out with the pitchforks and everything if I just happen to snag a share at one point in time this draft season.
He pairs well with Corbin Carroll, but they're both kind of risky. That's the problem.
Yeah, but it's the old saying, but if you're playing for an overall, those are two guys that could help you in a big way in an overall if they hit their ceiling. So that part is quite fun. All right, we'll slide down the board here a little more, and we'll talk the 24th player on the board, Luis Robert Jr. Now we're starting to get in some bigger standard deviations. We're starting to spread out a little more here. And Lou Bob's one of those guys that last year, again, only 25 last season. He's going to be 26 this year. So let's take that into consideration as well. But he finally stayed healthy, played 145 games, picked up 38 home runs, 20 steals, which is all groovy, and hit 264. So now you're looking at projections this year, Ben, and the projections are, 30-ish home runs, close 18 to 20 steals, almost like pretty similar to what he did last year, honestly. And if he did that last year, he's an early round talent, because if you look at his ADP, it's 33, but those numbers, I think, bode a little better than that. So what are your thoughts when you see these projections?
Do you notice why the standard deviation is getting higher? Do you see among the stats?
Let me check real quick. Is it?
It's the one thing you didn't mention.
The
RBIs.
Yeah, the RBI dropped to 84, 84, 85. That's not good. No, yeah.
No, that's, you're looking at runs. So.
Oh, sorry, 79. I'm over in the other column. Yes.
Yeah. So steam resin for 97. The bad.
Oh, that's a big gap. Holy shnikes.
20 RBI, and then ATC's in the middle, of course. So that's a perfect example of the variation amongst the projection systems. And I mean, 80-ish runs at least is conservative. The White Sox worry me because of how bad I think they're probably going to be. And he has the injury history. So I have him ranked kind of like where he's going in ADP, but he's not someone I really want to draft yet. I don't know. It's tough. And the CMR projection is very optimistic. It should probably be more in the 80s, not almost 100 for his RBI total. The 30 homers, like the average line across the three is 84, 30, 87, 19, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great for a third round pick, and he's going to help you in average. So compared to other guys, like he's a 24th, whatever, like in that hitter range based on all three. So I think he's a fine value. It's just the downside that is tied to him that's kind of makes me worried.
Yeah, like I love him if you need power, speed, and the batting average won't kill you. Like, he's good at that. But it's the White Sox. Like, Adam Lee in the chat says White Sox has a very paltry offense. I'm like, yeah, it's the counting stats. I don't know how the steamer could even throw out a 97. If he got over 100 RBIs, my goodness, the White Sox probably fighting for a wild card spot, which I think most of us don't think is going to happen this year. So that's the downside with Lou about that. And again, like I said at the beginning, it's first season over 100 games. Like, he's young, so let's just hope he's healthy now and going to be able to go. But got to take that into consideration as well. We're talking Luis Robert and how that all pans out. Talking about young player and Robert, let's go to an old player, Jose Altuve. This is a fun one here. He's 29th on the board here. And you look at these projections, after last year going 17-14 with 311, that's pretty sweet. But then you look at – I'm trying to guess it before you even say it to me here. Oh, it's the run score department, Ben. Can you explain to me what's going on here?
It's also the RBI too. So ATC has him for 68 RBI. The other two have him for
– likes people.
Well, this one's really weird because like they're higher on some – like certain projections are higher on different pieces of his line. It's really weird. So – ATC has Altuve for 102 runs. Steamer has him for 104. The Bad X has him for 86. And he has three more at-bats with the Bad X versus ATC. So the Bad X is saying he'll be up as many times or as many at-bats but score 16 fewer runs, which is kind of wild. The Bad X and Steamer have him for 10 more RBI than ATC. ATC has him for 68. The homers and the steals are pretty comparable, and the average is the highest with ATC. Yeah, so we're starting to get into close to – he has a 9 standard deviation for his average rank. And so we're getting close to double digits with him. And he's someone that – like when I do my deep dive to start out my prep process, he looks awful. Like his his average exit velocity is like 85 miles per hour, which is horrible. And it's the same thing with Bregman. Like, he just pulls the ball into left field in Houston, and it makes everything look go away. But like, he was hurt last year. He's mid 30s now. Yeah, it's like, second base is weird. Sometimes when I get later in drafts, I feel like I need second base help. So like, in my current draft, I made sure to grab a second baseman and a shortstop early. So I'm kind of good for now. But with Altuve, I don't know. I don't have a Yankee bias. It's just that it's, I'm waiting for him to kind of like, for the skills to kind of like show up in the results almost at some point. Cause it's like, he's always outperformed them as long as he's been up, I think. And it's, he's going at a not too high of a cost. Like, I think he's still third round roughly.
42 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fourth round and a 12, late third and a 15. I don't know. He's a tough one too. Yeah. And of course the projections agree because of the standard deviation we're looking at.
Yeah. And that's why I think this is fun talking about the standard deviations, because certain people like certain projections more than others, but you can kind of utilize them all. Like Ben, a lot of people do, but Ben does like a cumulative average. He has separates, all these different things. There's ways to utilize these. But it's fun kind of looking at the three. We're kind of looking at them separately in a way and kind of seeing how they differ. So if you are pulling up their page, you're like, that's interesting. But then why don't you look at the other ones for a second and see what's going on and see what's there. And the fact you said, like, seems like he overperforms them. Some players just do that because of their team context, just little things like that. So the projections are just part of the puzzle is what I'm trying to say. So don't read them and start penciling everything in. It's a good way to get started for sure. And that'll lead me to our next guy and player I have no shares of, but with an ADP right now of 75, he is 31st on your hitter list. That is Mike Trout. And you talk about, it's our first double digit standard deviation on the board, so that's why I wanted to bring it up. It's Mike Trout. He's controversial because people will go like, oh, he won't stay healthy, but it's ADP 75. Like, there's all these things when it comes to Mike Trout. Man, you look at those projections. The bat, 85 and 91 runs in RBIs. ATC, 86 and 77. Big difference in our RBI. RBI. I always screw it up when I scroll down. and then, especially when you've played forever. But Steamer, 100 runs, way more than both of them, and 95 RBIs, which is way more than ATC. Steamer does have him hitting a lot less than the Bat X and ATC. So there's a lot of moving parts on this Mike Trout profile, which I think pretty much sums up trying to decide if we're going to draft Mike Trout this season. So when you're looking at it, what are you seeing?
Yeah, it's just validating why I don't really want to draft him. So Steamer has him for 100 more at-bats than ATC in the Bat X, which is wild. So that explains the jump in runs that you pointed out. I mean, the bottom line is, though, if he's going to play, everyone thinks he's going to do really well. It's just how much is he going to play? And the Angels took a step back, losing Ohtani. Like, Taylor Ward might be their four hitter, depending on where you look. And I don't know. Like, they just don't have a good lineup around him. I know your boy Renjifo's there, but he can't help Mike out that much.
I love how Ward's traveling. Luis Renjifo right here.
Yeah, that's who's helping Trout out now. So, I mean, he's at a point where he's not going to kill you if he gets hurt again. I mean, he probably will get hurt. That's just unfortunately what keeps happening to him. But Trout is someone when we do our Yahoo show, like, him in a 12 is perfect because he has that sky high upside.
100%.
But in a deeper league, it's so hard to draft him even where he's going now.
Yeah, and I've mentioned that with who I was talking to the other day. Just like, another reason why I love doing 12 teams compared to 15s is I can take those chances. And it's just, you can take them. If they stink, you drop them. You don't worry about dropping them. We're in a 15. You even stress about dropping them. So now they're just like a dead roster spot, which is man, like, fantasy is supposed to be fun. It's going to be stressful no matter what, but it's supposed to be fun. Like, that just adds a whole nother layer of like anxiety to the situation, which happens. That's what playing for money does for anything. But that's why Trout, it's like, as a baseball fan, I want him to be so good. Like, the old Mike Trout was so much fun to watch. Like, before Shohei even showed up, Trout was must-see TV and just can't stay healthy. So hopefully he does. Hopefully he just takes every best part of each projection and goes to town. We'll see. But, man, I'm scared to death to draft him right now and see where that goes. We're going to stick in double digits now, but just so people, if you want to look up some names later, Elise Garcia's close to a 9, and Schwarber's close to a 10. Almost went Schwarber, but I think we kind of have an idea already without even looking what the Schwarber situation looks like there. But let's go to Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis is 42nd on this hitter list, and he's got a big boy deviation here. Like, we're almost into the 20s now with Royce Lewis. We know how good he can be. Very, very good stuff. He hit 309 last year, the 15 homers, the 6 steals in 58 games. But now you got to go and hope he stays healthy. And projections might be baking that in, might not be. But what are you seeing when you look at his projections? Because Steamer, again, man, Steamer is just loving some of these guys.
Yeah, this time it's the Bad X who's dragging him down. The Bad X has his line for 73, 22, 70, 15 steals, and an average that it will help you, but it's not nearly as good as the other two systems have him for. And, yes, like, so I think I told you, we were texting the other day, and, like, after you had James Anderson on, I'm like, I kind of want to draft Royce Lewis now because of what he was saying about him. Yep. The problem is, though, he's one of those guys where you have to, like, toss a projection out the window and then draft him if you want to feel good about it, because – I mean, well, overall, his line is 77, 26, 81, and 13, which is great with an average that'll help you probably around like in the 260, 270 range if you average all three together. Mm-hmm. But he has the injury history. I mean, he's going to hit in a premium lineup spot, probably like second or third. So that's not going to be an issue. Yeah, Steamer has him for more at bats, of course. That kind of helps with the runs and the elevated runs and RBI. But I think he's someone I want to try to draft, but he's going where I like to draft pitchers. So it's maybe in an auction. If his price falls, I would be interested, or maybe in one of my 12 team leagues. I'm going to do a couple of those. I might take him there, but with my current draft plan of how I like to attack the positions, he's kind of in that no man land of hitters for me.
Yeah. My only share that I can recollect right now is I took him in an NFBC 50. That's a 12 team draft and hold for that exact reason. I know my depth is much better to fill in there. But Lewis, man, like, he's another guy, kind of like some of those ones we talked about earlier. There's such a ceiling to some of them, but there's also just like a floor. If he just gets injured, obviously it's done, because you got to pay a premium. Like, I don't know, I wouldn't say premium per se. There's ADP's 54 to 15. That's within the first five rounds. That's a premium to me when you need depth in a 15-team league, like you're saying. 12-team, a little different. You're stretching out to like round 6-7-ish if things go right for you. You might have a conversation there. That's more in a workable situation, but we'll see. For those just tuning into the show by chance, we are covering the Bat X, Steamer, and ATC, kind of looking at how they all incorporate and like the pros, the cons, how they the differentiations between them all. But we mentioned HQ's got projections, RotoWire's got projections, PitcherList has their PLV projections coming out. And they're pretty awesome stuff there. We've had PLV on the show. And Nick wanted me to let you know that they have an auction calculator on Tuesday with the next PL launch. So go check all that stuff out. Checks in the mail, I hope, on that one. But before we go back into players here, Ben, I did want to ask you, because so we talked about some popular names so far. We're going to get to actually a few more that are pretty popular names here that have differentiations. And like you said, just so much, such a big standard deviation on some kind of just doesn't make you want to draft them. So you're obviously utilizing these to kind of get a basis on what you're doing. I know we've talked about this before, but for those that might have missed it, how are you deciding maybe which one to utilize more than other? Are you weighting them yourself? Is like a complete cross off for you unless they fall enough? What are you using these deviations we're talking about when you're kind of building your pool to draft?
So this is my first time looking at it in this manner, which I'm glad we're doing. I think it's really cool. I'm going to keep this spreadsheet going forward. So like, I think about a good thing to use it for will be comparing just overall changes. So like, say ATC gets updated. Okay, who's changed the most? And I could see the standard deviation of the pre-new projection system versus the most up-to-date. Okay, who did ATC bump up, or maybe who did they knock down? Or well, it'd be all three at the same time. Maybe there's a signing, you know? But it's a coincidence almost. So like, Royce Lewis is someone I'm worried about, and the standard deviation is agreeing with that nervousness. And same thing with Trout, because these are players that we're identifying that people tend to be uneasy about to begin with. And then now the numbers are backing it up. Nolan Jones is next. His is 14. Ellie De La Cruz is a 19. I mean, George Springer is up there. Yandy Diaz, O'Neill Cruz. These are Yandy not so much, but like he's a very unique skill set. So when I'm drafting, I'm using the bolded line that we're looking at, which is the average of all three. Mm-hmm. But it's so if I draft someone like Royce Lewis, who has a not as reliable projection, or I'm not as confident in it. Okay, I'm going to jot down those projections for my team's runs, RBIs, homers, and steals. But then as the draft goes on, I might need more from another player to make up for that risk that I'm taking on by drafting Lewis before that player. So that's kind of how it ties into what I do. I don't want to rank based on the projections because I want to look at the players first. Like you could just sort out, you could go to Fangraphs, do the auction calculator, or use Nick's PLV, his projections or whoever's, and it can give you a list of how to draft, but I want to dig into players before I even rank them at overall and look at things like their barrel rate and their K rate and all those types of things. And then the projections are laid on top of that to see, okay, who stands out. And the DC is great because I can take the time to look at, okay, who's the next best projected player based on my projections that I have versus what my ranks are saying. It's kind of a complex thing that I'm doing.
No, it makes, even to my dumb brain, it makes sense though. That's why I was just curious, like if the deviation is wider, you're going to want to probably cover your bases with some more tightness at some point in time and mm-hmm. back and forth. And that makes a lot of sense. That's why I was kind of curious, because you're not just like saying, I won't draft this guy, because you at least acknowledge the fact that, yeah, this guy could be really darn good and this could help my team. And this price tag is pretty solid. But you're not just, even with all that, you're like, nope, not drafting him. You're at least opening the window for that. And just acknowledging I got to fix things later, maybe, or back myself up later, which is pretty good way, I think, to use these, because some of us, I think, overuse, like projections are great, but I think we overuse them sometimes. And the fact like, oh, this projection's so awesome, he's gonna do this. And it's like, no, that is not the truth, folks. I hate to break it to you. Some guys like way exceed their projections. There's no, like we just talked Freddie Freeman earlier, blew them out the doors pretty much every year, probably blows them out the doors. But there's a reality that these projections are made because he could easily fall back to this or worse. Like that's just the brass tacks of it all. And that happens more often than not is the point. And that's where like Ellie De La Cruz, I don't even know if we even need to talk to him. I want to do Nolan Jones next, but like the whole discussion on Twitter about Ellie De La Cruz and the Derek Carty and everything, he's just pointing out the projection that these young guys with this much volatility more often than not don't succeed right away, which is not wrong. Like that is 100% correct in this conversation. You just picked a polarizing name. Boom goes to dynamite. Lots of fun happens. Thank you, Twitter. All right, let's go to Nolan Jones on this one. He is the 45th hitter off the board on according when you put the projections together here, with a pretty good standard deviation. And this is a guy that I know, like I loved last year, but I'm even kind of like cautious. I'm cautiously optimistic because, you know, 106 games, went 20-20, hit .297. The lazy person goes, oh wow, full season, 30-30, sweet. But I don't think that's that easy. But then you look at the projections, and it's like 140 games, but they're giving them like 22 to 23 homers. They're pretty much all there. ATC is a little bump, but only ATC is the only one with even 20 steals. And that one confuses me right out the gate. So they're all low on the stolen bases. The average drops a ton from last year, and the counting stats can vary a bit. So when you look at Nolan Jones, like what's your takeaway on this one? Because they're all expecting like a major step back, it feels like, and being so young in that ballpark kind of surprises me.
I think him being a rookie last year is hurting the steals, because it may have been you, one of your pods where you mentioned, or somebody else, but I heard that he didn't steal in the minors. So his projection has to come from the minors, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why the Bad X and Seamer are more in the mid-teens versus the 20 that ATC has. The other reason why his standard deviation of the ranks is so high is that Nolan Jones is projected for 70 RBI by the Bad X, where it's 80 for ATC and Steamer. And we're getting out into the point where smaller changes can have a bigger effect on your rank, because the talent's kind of flattening out as we get away from the earlier rounds. He was someone, Jones, that I didn't think I would want to draft because of the BABIP and the K rate, but he's going to get the BABIP boost no matter what, because he's going to play in Coors. And I mean, like, so I think his K rate was around 30, but so was Teoscar Hernandez's last year. And if he has that elevated BABIP, I could see him hitting 250 still. on the season, which would be a huge step back. But I think if he goes 25-20 with 80 plus RBI and runs, I mean, that's not off from where what Robert's projected for. So, I mean, he'll have probably a worse average than Robert, but he's going later than him too. So he's someone where I'm more open to drafting, but he kind of has the same problem that Royce Lewis had, is where he's going at ADP. And yep, he's going where I kind of want to target pitching, at least for right now, in the draft and holds that I'm doing.
Yeah, 100% with you. He's got his ADPs right around 60. That's that wheelhouse. If you took a couple hitters early, like, you got to start hammering pitching, and it worked. Like, if you look at the ADP in general, like Duvall, Iglesias, Dyn Jones, Framber Valdez, David Bednar, Logan Webb, Nico Horner, Max Fried, like, you just have like a bunch of pitchers and an occasional bat. That's just the way it works out. So that's the other part about drafting early, looking at projections, looking at ADP, doing all your research, like the different ways to build a team. And that's the fun, is maybe as much as we clown on, you know, we don't maybe not clown on, but we get skeptical of, do I have to take pitchers early? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Maybe you take a pitcher early, then in that wheel, then that realm, you go and get a bat, and it just changes everything up for you. And like, there's ways to do it, is what I'm trying to say. And that's what makes it interesting. Like, I started out saying, like, I like Tatis over some of these guys because I value that outfielder in the first round. Well, maybe I go and get Freddie Freeman, and then I go and get Nolan Jones in there, because now I got a good outfielder that's got at least 20-20 appeal to me. So it's not 30-30, but it's 20-20 with maybe some upside. There's different ways to build, is what I'm trying to say. So check all that out. Well, let's hop around some more here. And, like, I'm just – if you want, do you want to talk Ellie? I was just going to go past Ellie. Like, everyone's talked about
it. It's just
Ellie.
Obvious that he's going to be one of the higher ones.
Yeah. That's why I was like, it's been talked about so much. I think we're good on that regard.
Yeah. The numbers back it up.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's go down. I'm just going to skip around. And let's go to Teoscar. Let's go to Teoscar Hernandez real quick.
Okay.
Right. Is that 54? 54 right now. New Dodger, Teoscar Hernandez. He has an ADP of 141 right now. And he had a pretty decent year, 26-7, 258 with Seattle. Now goes to LA. Projections, they vary a bit in some departments. Ben, when you're looking at these projections, what stands out to you that creates, I guess, such a volatility with him?
It looks like the Bad X knows that he's going to be on the Dodgers now, because they give him 83 runs versus 69 for ATC and 74 for Steamer. So I think, and also too, they must think that they're going to fix Teoscar's average, because they have him by far the highest weighted average here. It's an 11, which doesn't really mean much to the listeners, but it's versus a 5 and a 3 for the other two systems. So it's pretty significant, I think. The Bad X has him for the most home runs, tied for the most RBI, and the most steals by 2. So they have him as almost as a 30-10 player. That's Teoscar with the Bad X. And so he's someone I've been in on in the past, and I mentioned his K rate earlier. So that the K rate's the biggest thing that makes me pause before I want to draft Teoscar. I don't think he's going to be at risk of playing time with the Dodgers, because they gave him, what, $20 million or whatever it was. They're going to play him, and he still is good enough to play. But his overall average projection amongst the three here is 75 runs, 28 homers, 86 RBI, 7 steals, and a positive contribution to average. Compared to like 250 league average, it'll be higher than that across the projections. And he's definitely good where he's going, I think. I like the comparison. I think you and Ryan were talking about him versus Santander and on Tuesday's show. That's a good one. Teoscar will probably get more, have more steals, not by much though. But Santander probably has more runs. I mean, just because of where they're hitting the lineup mostly. And Teoscar could move up to like 5th. I don't see why. Well, there's Muncy probably there, so he'll probably be 6th maybe. So that hurts a little bit, but it's kind of like with the Braves. Like, at least they'll get to him a lot. I don't know how the guys behind Teoscar will, if they'll knock him in. Maybe that's why the runs are lower. Like, he's projected for 75 overall. You have guys like Lux and Hayward and whoever else. They're platooning back there. May not drive him in as much. So, it's really the runs. And it makes sense based on what I just said. Like, how much will he score with the Dodger lineup behind him? So.
Yeah, and that's a great point that you made and Ryan made to me the other day, because I just, again, back to it's the Dodgers. They're going to do great. The bottom half of that Dodgers lineup is a little tricky. Bottom third, I guess I'll say at least. It's not ideal. So not saying they can't do it, because Dodger magic is crazy, and they'll find a way to probably make it happen, but it stands out. I got a couple more here that I wanted to hit, and one is a massive one. And it's a name that, in Nolan Arenado, that it's been discussed on many shows, and just a lot of confusion. Is it age? Is it the bat? Can he bounce back? You know, at 266, which is way down from 2022, but kind of more of the norm. 26 homers, first year without 100 RBIs in forever. You look at the three projection sites, Ben, and first off, I will say Arenado's ADP is 105 in the month of January. What stands out the most, and I'm just going to say it's just simple to me, the Bat X does not like Nolan Arenado. It's just like every stat is just a big gap compared to the other two, which are pretty in sync when you talk ATC and Stever. The Bat just does not like Arenado. So what are you doing when you see this information?
It confirms why I don't want to draft him. Yeah. He's someone I'm probably not going to draft at all this year. They're giving him a huge boost in runs because one of the issues I had with him was I think he scored fewer than 70 runs last year. And he's kind of like Altuve where he has the heavy pull profile, which I know some people eat that up, but I like more well-rounded hitters where they don't have to cheat like that because I feel like they could get exposed if they're pitched you properly. I mean, they are major league hitters, so what they're doing is working, but the RBI difference is huge. So ATC and Steamer has him for 96-99 and the BatX has him for 81. So that's like 15 to almost 20 fewer RBI for Arenado. The BatX average for him is not very good. It's basically average. It's a weighted average of one. The other ones are closer to 10. Yeah, and his standard deviation is 29, which is, I think, the highest we've discussed so far. It's the highest one on the sheet so far. So we're starting to get into some big discrepancies in the rankings across the three. And it's not even the uncertainty that is steering me away. It's just I think he's on the decline.
Yeah, the crazy amount of potential outcomes based on just looking at those was why the standard deviation is so wide. It's crazy. It's just nuts to look at. I've been out on pretty much Arenado the whole time. I'm concerned for many reasons. And like you said, the projections differentiations back that up in a big, big way. Let's get to an even bigger one. And at the 61st player on this board is Dansby Swanson. He's into the 30s. This is a large deviation. And it's the flip side of Arenado. First off, Swanson's ADP is 127. The Bat X loves Swanson. It's the other two projection sites that have zero desire, or at least much less expectations for Dansby Swanson. So how are you utilizing this one? Is it similar, even though it's different projections, or do you have a different thought on it?
See, I actually drafted Swanson in my last DC, not the one I'm in right now, the one that just wrapped up. And so he was someone I was big on when he broke out in 2022. I had him in like five NFBC leagues. And I think this is one of those – I know you and Ryan kind of discredited the theory of the first-year contract thing with the help of Colin and my shot. I think he was the one who helped you guys out with that.
He did. I still think it's great. But, yeah, the data was pretty telling. Like, whoa, that's interesting.
Right, yeah. So it's not necessarily a sure thing that if you're going to go somewhere new, you're going to struggle. But I think he can bounce back. I mean, he – like I like Swanson. I mean, I'm not going to draft him everywhere, but the big thing with the Bat X is the average too. So they have it's an eight versus like a one and a minus one in the way I have the ranking set up. And so that's a big difference. The Bat X has Swanson for 14 steals versus 10 and 11. They have him for 26 homers, which is really good. And almost 90 and 90 in RBI and runs. So this is one where it's like a bias confirmation almost. Like I'm one for three drafting him. I mean, I could still take him and draft him in now, but I think because he's going to hit like fourth in the Cubs lineup, probably depending on if they sign Bellinger or not, fourth or fifth. So he's going to get a lot of at bats. And I mean, if the wind's blowing out for him this summer, it could boost that homer total like the bats expecting.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by some of the hate by the projections. I don't know if it's necessary hate, but just the difference.
Steamer hates him.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive that they're not fans of that scenario.
But this is a good example why I like to use all three. Because how do you pick which one to use? Like, just use all. And this is – I got this from Toby way back when I first started listening to you guys. So this is hat tip to Toby.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to ask. Like, when we look at Arenado, we don't like him. When we look at Swanson, we both like him. And it's like one – the projection we didn't like him for on Arenado all of a sudden likes Swanson. So I think that's, like you said, doing the kind of the average of them all kind of helps in a big way to – at least get the numbers like Toby, and I should have mentioned it when we were pumping all the other sites. Tanner Bell, Smart Fantasy Baseball, does his sheets you can purchase. You can plug in the projections. It'll do all this work for you if you're not smart enough to do it. Ben whipped this up on his own a couple nights ago, and some people are much better at this than others. But like, if you're someone like me and need someone to do it for you, Smart Fantasy Baseball is a place to go, and it's pretty easy to do. So check all that out. A couple more here, unless you have some other names that you'd like to discuss, but I wanted to bring up like a popular name that's out there with a pretty big almost a 30 deviation. He's a 76 hitter on the board here, and that's Tristan Casas, a pretty popular name, power hitting first baseman, ADP of 113 in January, hit 24 homers and 263 last year. We know the second half splurge that took place there, but this is another one that the Bad X just is not a fan when it comes to Tristan Casas. And I guess the one thing I'll say, maybe this is all it is, it could be this simple. Derek has proven time and time again that his system is not a big fan of young players. That's just a thing. It takes a little while to iron that out. So maybe he does like Casas in the end, but right now the way he builds his formulas is just not working. Could be wrong. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, where I haven't ranked, I have him ahead of ADP, actually, at least from the ADP I have in my file right now. I'm as the 101st overall player. I haven't drafted Casas yet, but I would. And also with him, I've heard Justin Mason talk a lot about how his underlying metrics didn't coincide with his production last year. So he struggled in the first half, but everything was saying he should have been outperforming what he was doing. And then the second half, he finally caught fire, but his underlying metrics declined. So it's, I don't know. I think that's probably just skills balancing out. And like, it's just, I mean, there's always going to be luck involved with the outcomes of the players. That's why we try to project it. It's some guys have good years, some guys have bad years. But with Casas, I like him. I know he's a big prospect. I think the projection set is saying the overall projection, the average 79, 27, 82, and not too helpful of an average and only one steal. It's saying he's getting overdrafted because he's the 76th hitter, like you said, and he's probably going at like the 60th hitter, maybe, or the 50th hitter, because he's around 100. But if he falls, I would gladly take him, but I know people are high on him, so I don't know how much I'll end up drafting him.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I just don't have that many shares because people jumped the gun on me a lot, like you were saying. Anybody else you wanna highlight here? Because it just gets bigger and bigger the farther down we go, but there are some fun names. So if you do, we can discuss them. Otherwise, we can hit the listener questions. Up to you.
Yeah, let's get a 40 in here before we move on. The first one that caught my eye was actually JTR.
Nice. After we hat tip Toby, let's talk JTR.
Perfect. That wasn't planned. I know.
So what do you got when you see JTR? Because he's still like, some people are still going to bat as he's the elite catcher option. I don't have him at number one, but some still think he's like behind Adley. So what are your thoughts here?
No, yeah. So his overall line, JTR, is across the three projection systems, is 65 runs, 19 homers, 67 RBI, and 15 steals, and a slightly above average. So the Steamer is probably the least optimistic on him. And of course, that's surprising because they're the most offensively favorable system. And they have him for 59 runs, 18 homers, 63 RBI, and 13 steals. The Bad X has him for a lot more runs. And he's like the 108th overall hitter. So I think – you have to adjust for the catcher position as well. But even within the projections, they're unsure of what he's going to do. And one of the issues I have with taking him pre-pick 100 still, like he's always gone in the past, is he's not hitting at the top of the lineup anymore. Yeah. And he's getting older. So I think I know Roster Resource has Realmuto hitting like 6th or 7th in the lineup because the Phillies have a good lineup. I forget where Kirlin has him. But I think it's kind of down there as well. And he used to be hitting like 2nd and 3rd when he was playing for the Marlins and even when he first got to the Phillies. So he's going to lose at bats just naturally by hitting lower in the lineup. He's older. And there's just there's so many catches that have caught up to him, I think. And I know those steals are nice, but I'm sure my first two teams could have used his steals at the position, but I think he's declining now, and which isn't his fault. Like he's played a lot of innings over his career, but this is another one where I kind of agrees with my take on the player.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good call here because I'm with you. I'm kind of out on JTR. He could prove me wrong, but there's a lot of other catchers I like, as people know, and they don't want to probably hear about it anymore. But a lot of other places I'd rather go later in the draft than on a good old JTR right there. Anybody else? Like, there's some. I was just poking at Stephen Kwan to talk about diversity all over the board on the projections there. Anybody else that you'd like to take a peek at?
Yeah, I saw, when I saw Kwan, I was like, of course, because the one that likes him the most is
I love
Steamer. Kwan. And I took him when I only had Steamer in my spreadsheet. I'm like, oh, this guy, he's perfect. 20 steals and great average and 190 runs, exactly what I needed. But the bad X says not so fast. Let's call it a Marte. Starting Marte has a high standard deviation. It's probably injury. Let me see what it looks like. Yeah, Steamer is optimistic on him. The homers are pretty wild. Bad X has Marte for 8. Steamer has him for 14. So that's a big difference.
That's almost a big like 50%.
Yeah. And even the RBI is, they're way off.
Steals, even like, Steamer's got him 14.30.
Yeah, ATC has him for 12.24.
I mean, even like a playing time Steamer way over ATC on the bat. Like, there's a big chunk of the, that's a lot. Like, I tend to believe the ATC bat projections a lot more on that one.
All right. Here's the last one, I guess. Matt Chapman. He's 140 something. Let me bring it back down. Chapman is 141. Yeah, 58. Yeah, so the standard deviation is 58.
So, good lord.
Yeah, it's a big difference in home runs. So ATC has him for 21 home runs. The Bad X has him for 30. Steamer's kind of in the middle with 23.
ATC runs and RBIs also.
Yeah, they're much lower. And this is one where the at bats are kind of aren't too far off. It's ATC has for 477, Bad X 478, and Steamer 519. So, I mean, 40 is, I don't know. Steamer's in the middle, though, but and they have the most at-bats, so who knows. Yeah, and maybe because he's not signed, that could be part of it.
I'm guessing that's what it is. I'm curious on how that incorporates into Ariel's decision-making. You know, the Bad X obviously uses StatCast and ballpark data. There's no ballpark data yet for Chapman on that one. So that's going to be a fun one to check out when he does sign somewhere and see where everything kind of evens out along the way. That'll be a fun one for sure.
What you just said though makes sense because everyone always talks about how good his barrel rate is and all the StatCast data. So that makes sense why the bat is the most optimistic with him, at least the Bad X.
Yeah, that would make sense. Let's talk listener questions here. You guys came through like on a midday Thursday. Usually we don't get a lot of midday stuff. You guys were awesome. So keep those coming and we'll start with Corbin Young on this one. I know we're talking hitters here, but he has to ask about Mitch Keller at all times. Like, what are your thoughts on Mitch Keller and why do people hate him? He said he's kidding. Serious question. One player you agree or disagree with their projection? I know we've hit on a few, but give one you agree or disagree with. Who stands out to you?
Yeah, mine we actually didn't talk about ahead of time, which is, I mean, I picked him before we talked and we didn't talk about him, which is great. And it was Francisco Lindor. So Lindor is, according to the aggregate of the three projection systems for this year, he's projected to be hitter 28 based on how I do my Z scores. In 2022, he was hitter 10. In 2023, he was hitter 11 using the same calculation method. So he's been a first round player 12 or 10, at least in 15 team leagues the last two seasons. And, I was in a Twitter thread talking about him the other, maybe like a week ago. And the thing with Lindor that I think is consistently missed is his runs, because he's been at least 98 runs, it seems like,
good point,
every full season. And the projections have him for like high 80s and like maybe 90. And he hasn't really been hurt. Like, he had two seasons, full seasons, if you exclude 2020, where he played full amount of games and he was always like above 100 runs. And I get why they brought down the steals, but I think, and the average is always questionable because of his batted ball profile. He's kind of fly ball heavy, but I think where he's going, it's a pick. Like I was saying, like if I draft him, the projections are going to say it was a bad pick, but I think he's someone who, as long as he's not hurt, he's going to outperform what the projections are saying. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. I love him. 160 plus games back-to-back year. You mentioned the they're down on his power. So maybe it's more like 2022 where he hit 26. Okay. That's fine. Yeah. You mentioned runs 98 and 108 the last 2 years, even RBI is 107 and 98. Like they're both kind of downplaying as basically overall run production in general. And I think there is a lot to be said about that. So I think that's a good call with Francisco Lindor. It's a guy I'm got a lot of shares of already this draft season. Our buddy at MS says, I was expecting Sale to show as a value, but projections seem to think he's fairly priced around 165. Does that still feel low to you now that he's in Atlanta? I know you tweeted out a response, but what was your – I didn't have a chance to read it yet. What was your thoughts on that one?
No, I said that I think he's fine where he's going. I am overall 141 currently, and he's someone if I didn't take it like Tyler Glasnow or someone who's a little more risky in the first few rounds, I would definitely take him where he's going.
That's a great point there because there is still risk with Sale. Like, I'm optimistic on him, but if you already have a risky guy like a Glasnow to begin with, you ain't taking Sale. Don't double dip in that pool. It's not going to end well the more you do that, so stay far, far away. MS also mentions, I can read, you said hitters. Vinny P and Riley Green both underwhelm in projections. Do we underrate the importance of Park and lineup or ignore it too much during draft season? Before I give you the floor, I think Park and lineup is important. Also, these guys missed a lot of time with injury, so the actual sample size for creating projections is difficult. So what do you think when you look at these two?
So I was very ahead of Riley Green when I first made my projections. I have him like outfielder 31, which is way ahead of where he's going. And his Statcast page is all red. Like, all his sliders are all the way to the right almost. And I think people forget he was a top prospect like 2 years ago, and he's been up already for a couple of years. And like you said, the injuries that kind of held him back. I think this year he could really go off, and he would have been going to go over because I think so Steamer was higher on him than the other two projection systems. So it's kind of like his overall projected value is kind of taking a hit now that the other ones are out. But so I won't reach on him necessarily, but he's someone I would definitely draft in the mid 100s, late 100s if I need an outfielder. And for Vinny P, he's someone I like as a bounce back candidate too, but the problem is first base is kind of deep. So I almost just want to, I'd rather wait to draft someone like Rhys Hoskins or Anthony Rizzo or somebody else if I can afford to wait.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that first base discussion there. And I think a lot of it's just that Bad X doesn't like him. And I'd imagine that's just sample size type stuff there with him. Kind of goes back to the rookie discussion with the Bad X. Could be totally wrong. It's pure speculation. That's one thing that kind of stands out to me on that one. All right, Mr. Big John Stud, John Legesa. He says, basically, what about Bryce Harper? He says Derek Cardi has got explaining to do because – you look at Harper, 281, 27, 13 steals, 93 and 89, according to the Bad X. The ATC likes him a little bit more, and Steamer likes him a little bit more, but there's not like a massive gap when you're looking at it all. So what are you thinking when you look at Bryce Harper? Because John L. wants an answer.
Yeah, I was doing some digging, and then also the thread with this is pretty funny. I was reading it last night. It popped back up with the question that John asked. So it's a good read if anyone wants to laugh. So with Harper, I drafted him in my first draft, my draft champions. I have no problem taking him at the end of the first round, early second in a 15 team league. He came back strong from the injury last year. He offers speed at first base, which you don't find a lot of. And I know John focused on the power, but I'll get there. So his barrel rate was awesome. He had a 15.2% barrel rate, 93rd percentile. And he probably showed up on Ryan's Bloom board for the barrel, the homers per barrel. And so he had 52 barrels last year and only 21 home runs. So it seems like he should have hit maybe like 30 home runs, which would have been more in line with 2021 when he went 35 and 13. And he only played 126 games last year. So he could have been like upper 30s if he had a little better luck and full playing time. So someone like Harper, I think I get why the projections are down, because if you look at his last couple of seasons, he had 21 last year and then he had 18 the year before. But I kind of said this with Acuna when we were talking about how he outperformed his homer production last year, and he was injured with the ACL injury, Acuna. And so Harper had the Tommy John. And so I think the missing time is bringing down the home run projection, even though it's not really like a skill issue. It's just, they didn't play as much. They were hurt. And I think Harper could outperform his projection of 28, 29 homers, yep, kind of like how Acuna did, minus the other crazy stats. But in terms of homers, I think Harper could hit 40 this year. There's nothing that says he couldn't.
I think Harper's in line for an MVP season. Just, healthy, the mindset in Philly, good team around him. Like, I think as long as he stays healthy at first base, he's going to put one together. It's a fun discussion now that I really want to look back on. Harper versus Freeman in round one. Like, we're all going Freeman pretty easily, it sounds like. I wouldn't discount Harper that much. That's just my one thought there. I think he's got more speed than Freeman if he wants to run, more power than Freeman if he wants to hit the bombs. Freeman's got him in batting average. Not going to deny that. But I'm both on really good offenses. So that could be a fun stat line at the end of the season. Thomas Travato has a question. I don't think it's related to projection, just in general. Riley Green, Wyatt Langford, or Teoscar Hernandez? Or those are the three he wanted us to look at. Never mind. We just did Green. We did Teoscar. What are your thoughts on Wyatt Langford? He's never played in the bigs, so this is going to be a hell of a projection. That's all I'm going to say.
So he's projected to be the 188th hitter across. So the BatX doesn't even have him. At least I didn't pull him in for the
BatX. It's up right here now. It's 241, 13, 51 runs, 46 steals, 9 stolen. So he's down. He's down home runs, similar runs, or he's got the same amount of runs, similar RBIs, similar steals, but they're all pretty much, I guess they're all pretty similar in the end. Just Steamer and ATC much better batting average.
Okay. Yeah, I just can't draft someone where he's going with 40 career professional games.
Yep. No. I'm out. Talked about it with Bloom. Like, if he's amazing, I'll tip my cap, but I can't bring myself to doing it. And then I know I got to check the thread here because we got one from our buddy calling my shot during the show. Let me find this bad boy. Okay. He says, my love of projection systems and my love of Thyro are directly at odds. Dude, I feel you, brother. Bad X is down 10 points of average compared to ATC and projects a piddling 11 homers. It's just disrespectful. And those are my words, not his, people. First, what do you think Bad X saw in his profile that made it nervous? I'll tell you right now, it's the StatCast metrics. I'll tell you that immediately because that gets thrown in my face every time I'm excited about him. And people aren't wrong when they look at him, but that's off the top of my head. That's probably it. And ballpark, those two as well. And then number two, are you less in on Thyro than you were before seeing the Bad X? You can't waver me, but the question is also for you. So, what do you think on this? What do you think they saw? Does this get you off of Thyro even more?
No, because at least in my last two drafts, I've wanted to take him, and he's gone before I've been able to draft him. And so when I was trying to do my second and shortstop rankings, I saw the awful barrel rate and like the hard hit percentage that you're alluded to, But like the other guys at his position, yeah, all have like the same profile. So it's not really like it shouldn't really bring him down much, Thyro. So the way the shortstop position is, I like drafting him where he is, or I want to at least draft him where he is at some point. And I had him last year before he got that fluke injury. And he was definitely, I think, going to outperform his projections for last year. Yeah. And hopefully he can regain whatever it is he had going for him. And, try not to get hit again, but I where Tyro's going, I think it's still fine, even though the projection, like I was saying before. So if I do draft Thyro, I got to make sure I draft someone whose projection probably says they're a steal at that pick. So I can kind of make up for those lost stats.
Yeah, no. And that's fair. Like, I understand the volatility that Thyro can bring. Like, we could all say, oh, and I'm with you guys that before he got hurt last year, he was tearing the cover off the ball. Like, one of my bold takes, I think, was 25, 40 or something. And not saying he's going to get there, but he was pacing towards a heck of a season like that. Like, things were looking good. Came back kind of slow going. We'll see what it is. It was kind of a fluky injury, too. I just believe we talk about, and people probably don't want to hear me talk about Thyro every freaking show, but people talk about using the StatCast metrics, and they are amazing. Don't get me wrong. I use them all the time. Barrels, hard hit rates, max EVs, all great. One thing Thyro does have is a great max EV. So what he can prove to you is when he wants to or when he can hit the ball hard, he can hit it just as hard as any other power hitter in baseball. That's one thing he can do. So, sure, he might not have a good barrel rate, might have the ball on the ground too much, might have too many line drives, whatever that doesn't – without the hard hits, whatever doesn't constitute. But when he does elevate the ball with authority, that ball's going a long ways. And that's one thing he's figured out how to do. So – he's kind of like you mentioned earlier with the Altuve thing, where it's like he's overperforming this stuff. Bregman overperforms. Some people just overperform the projections. But at the same time, if you use the projections it gives you a nice floor to land on, which I think's like his projection numbers. I think he has no problem hitting those, like 15 home runs and 17 steals. Come on. Like, I'm pretty confident you're getting that. And so then everything else is gravy. If you're just doing strictly projections, like, you're golden. But I think he's better than that, and he outperforms it. So to your initial question, call on my shot. Do not panic. We are fine in Thyro world. But, all right. On that note, my friend, we're going to head on out of here. Remind everybody where they can see you and maybe what you got coming on. I heard you got some things in the works. Like, there might be a guidebook coming out and stuff. So what do you got going on?
Yeah. So if anyone missed it, I am going to do some writing for Sports Ethos this year. Joe Arrico reached out to me during the winter and asked me if I wanted to come on for the season. I said, sure. So I already have one thing out. I was part of an all-star panel. We had to give one pitcher, one hitter that we found tough to rank. It was like Curlin was on there, Spore, Sarah Sanchez, Eric Cross, Joe picked one, Mike Carter. I'm like, why? What am I doing with this list of people? Like,
Stop it. You're good.
Yeah, so that's out on Sports Ethos if you want to check that out. We all pick different players, which Joe said if we pick the same guy, that means that they're even more – it's even harder to rank them. But there's 14 different names if you want to read a quick blurb about everybody. Of course, I have like the longest ones because I didn't know how much to write. I'm like, I'll just write whatever I feel like writing. And so that was my debut. And then, like Bubba mentioned, they're going to come out with their own draft guide soon. And I'm going to be starting pitching profiles. I'm going to do like 10 starters, which I never thought I'd be like, I'd ever write about starting pitching because I feel like, I don't know. I usually struggle with starting pitching, but over the years I've learned to look into it more in season. So I feel like I know what to look for a little bit more, but we'll see how it goes. So that'll be out at some point. And just tweeting whenever and coming on here whenever. So that's it.
Yep. We're going to keep texting and keep your phone on as usual. And like we've teased it a few times, we will do like the Yahoo centric show and some other stuff here pretty soon. I'm just waiting a little bit longer to get closer to that, but probably in a couple of weeks, we'll throw that one out there before the heart of draft season gets pumping. I just wanted to do projections first because that's fresh on the mind. And with that said, I have one last question for you.
All right.
Which one should we actually trust?
Which system?
I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that, but because it's just funny. We started out talking about the differences between them all. Some just were so severe in certain guys, but then it flipped on another guy. It's just, I think the aggregate is probably the best bet, like you were saying earlier. Like just right. To get a whole thing, or go try a different system. We mentioned a bunch on the show: HQ, RotoWire, pitcher list. I know I'm missing Tom Masterball. Vlad Sedler has his. There's a ton of projections out there now. So these ones are free on Fangraphs. If you want to go behind a paywall, lots of good ones as well. So go find all that fun. Make sure you check out Ben on Twitter. Check out myself on Twitter at BDentric. And this was Bench with Bubba, episode 645, Projections versus ADP with Mr. Ben Tidd. Catch you all next time.